Well, I just want to welcome everyone to our second night in our speaker series. I'll be introducing our speaker here momentarily. But as we always start all of our activities, we're going to start with some Catholic trivia that may be important for your salvation, may not be as well. Okay? So our first off, for those who I have not met yet who might be here, my name is Father Brian Cornelge. I'm the director of the campus ministry here at WVU. All right. So I have two questions because the first one I think is fairly easy. I think it is. We'll see, right? And then I have a second one. So first one, statues, A, really shouldn't be used by Catholics, according to Exodus 20, which warns against graven images. B, have scriptural support in Exodus 25. C, are prayed to by Catholics because this is a pious practice sanctioned by the church. D, are no longer recommended for use in churches, according to Vatican II. And E, none of the above. Let's try that again. Statues. Really shouldn't be used by Catholics, according to Exodus 20, which warns against graven images. B, have scriptural support in Exodus 25. C, are prayed to by Catholics because this is a pious practice sanctioned by the church. D, are no longer recommended for use in churches, according to Vatican II. E, none of the above. Who says A, really shouldn't be used by Catholics according to Exodus 20, which warns against graven images? Okay. All right, good. So if you said A in your mind, but you're too embarrassed to say it, the answer for A is the standard fundamentalist Christian complaint and false. The admonition is against praying to those images or to the false gods they represent. If you said B, have scriptural support in Exodus 25. Anyone who says B? Okay, we've got a few takers. This is where the Lord instructs the Israelites to adorn the Ark of the Covenant with statues of angels. He seemed to have no problem with images if they were used in the right way. Who said C, are prayed to by Catholics because this is a pious practice sanctioned by the church? We don't pray to statues, but we pray to the saints represented by them. Language is important, right? And ask those saints to pray to God on our behalf. Similarly, we don't pray to a crucifix, but we pray to Christ, right? Who is depicted on the crucifix. The crucifix helps us to keep our minds on our Lord's passion and what he underwent to achieve our redemption. Similarly, images of saints, whether statues or paintings, or mosaics, help us to keep in mind the virtues at which those saints excelled and to think about trying to develop those virtues in ourselves. Okay, who said D, are no longer recommended for use in churches sanctioned by Vatican II? If so, you have to leave now, okay? Vatican II said no such thing. And then E, I've heard none of the above, anyone? Okay, it says answer B is correct, right? Our Lord asked for statues of angels to be made. So our Lord doesn't contradict himself, right? So it's not the statues itself. It's if you are viewing them to be gods, which we don't, of course. All right. And then finally, I wanted to ask the last one. The Bible is divinely inspired, which means, A, this is a hard one, the sacred writers had visions and wrote down what they saw. B, the sacred writers were given extraordinary literary skills by God, and this is why the Bible is so beautifully written. C, God moved the sacred writers so that they wrote only and whatever he wanted them to write. D, the Bible is the most inspiring book of the world. That's what divinely inspired means. E, none of the above. This is hard. This is great. The Bible is divinely inspired. So to be divinely inspired means, A, the sacred writers had visions and wrote down what they saw. B, the sacred writers were given extraordinary literary skills by God, and this is why the Bible was so beautifully written. C, God moved the sacred writers so they wrote only in whatever he wanted them to write. D, the Bible is the most inspiring book in the world. And E, none of the above. This is great. Who said A, The sacred writer, so to be divinely inspired means the sacred writers had visions and wrote down what they saw. Okay, so if you were saying that in your mind, the answer is some of the sacred writers had visions, but most did not. They were ordinary people. Of the New Testament books, for instance, only one, Revelation, seems to have been a product of a vision. So you're wrong if you said A. B, the sacred writers were given extraordinary literary skills by God, and this is why the Bible is so beautifully written. Who said that? Okay, one. Some of the Bible is not at all beautifully written, and there is no disrespect in acknowledging this. For proof, try reading the two books of Chronicles. They read like lists of military statistics because that is what they are. Inspiration has nothing to do with literary skills or fineness of language. Okay. Now you feel built up, right? C. God moved the sacred writers so they wrote only and whatever he wanted them to write. Only and whatever he wanted them to write. Okay. So if you said that, the answer is, this is what Vatican II said in the third chapter of Dei Verbum. And I'm going to come back to that. And D, the Bible is the most inspiring book in the world. This is a different use of the term inspiring. In this sense, it means moving, either emotionally or intellectually, and the ability to move the reader is independent of divine inspiration. Robert Frost's poems are not divinely inspired, but many people, no doubt, are lifted to emotional heights by reading them. Many roads, and I took the road less taken, right? Okay, so divine inspiration means that the sacred author of each book is who? God and... that's the same person as God, right? Okay, so God and the writer. So this, the writer, who it is, and it, God is the principal author, but he works through that writer. And so it is divinely inspired, it says it right there, insofar as what that person was trying to relate. So is the book of Genesis, was that when the author, who's traditionally believed to be who? Moses, very good. Okay, so if Moses is writing the book of Genesis, was he trying to write a science textbook for first graders? No. Okay, so he was trying to write what? He's trying to, first off, write about the theological truth of creation, right? That it was not created by many gods, as was the common view at the time, but by one God, and then about the history of man's fall and there shortly thereafter. So that was his intention to write that. And so in that, that is with, there's no error in what he was trying to relay. He's not trying to teach math. He's not trying to teach science. So if you read it, if I go and try to read a nursing book and read it to learn about theology, I'm not going to learn too much, right? But if I read it for nursing, it should be accurate. So when you read the Bible for what the authors were intending to relay, that they are divinely inspired there without error, those books. Does that make sense? So it has to be what the genre, what he was trying, the author is trying to relay. But they're inspired by God. Cool. Any questions, thoughts, crises? Yes.
So what if somebody
And that's where we have this great institution called the church, right? And the church says, no, this is what this is for. But also the genres are really clear what they're trying to do. Excellent question, though. Any other questions? Awesome.